friends and neighbors, boys and girls, lend me your ears.
Welcome, welcome. Episode 294, the Brain Candy Podcast. We decided we would relent to your cries for more information about the challenge.
Oh, you know what? This is appropriate because just yesterday I received a phone call from the Buna Murray people, and they left a voicemail. I was in my clinic work.
No, they did not.
I have not checked the voicemail.
Are you kidding?
I haven't checked it.
Well,
I'm like not ready
for
to open up that box. Like, I just was like, I have to just, I'm in the middle of my day. I got to be focused on clients right now. I cannot start with reality television.
Well, I know they're casting the next challenge right now. So I'm sure that's what it is. I'm
barking up my tree.
What are you going to say?
Oh, thanks, but no thanks. Well, we'll see. What are they asking about?
Yeah,
is
right.
Is this, what do they call it? Business class challenge?
Right, Tyler, when he said it, there's the business class, which is champs versus stars, whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
And then there's the coach,
which economy.
Is the regular
It's
old.
Like worse than that. It's the ones where you're, it's like
the saver ticket.
Yes, where they have even less space and they're like, you have to, we charge for water and you cannot bring any carry-ons.
Yeah, get in the fetal position and get in the back.
Yeah, standing room only.
Wow. When I went to New York, we had a Challenge Mania event and people were really wanting to know how you're doing. They wanted to know, you know, of course, if you'd ever go back, and also they just wanted to say hello to you. And so,
oh,
you know,
well, thanks. I heard it was a really great event.
Well, it was, and no thanks to Kenny on that.
Did he not show up?
He did not, Sarah.
Suze. Well, so, does this not kind
well,
of like...
Well, I got to be honest. So when I came up with the idea to have the event because I knew that I would be in New York, thought it would be fun, and I thought it would be so great to have Kenny because he lives in New York, but he's been off the grid and really hasn't done anything in a long time. But I thought he'd feel comfortable because I would
You're
be there with him. Yeah. So I asked him to do it months and months and months ago. He said he thought he kind of was trepidatious about it, but then he was like, for you, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. So it was this sense of like, I don't want to do it, but since you've been there for me all this time and whatever, I'll do it for you. So he had some questions along the way and was like waffling a bit, but I kept telling Scott, don't worry. Like, Kenny is loyal. That's his thing.
Yeah.
And he's told me yes, and he's a man of his word, and he'll be there. And Scott was like, I don't know. I'm getting worried. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. And then 3 days before, he backed out.
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't surprise me. I feel like he might be nervous about some of the questions that he would get asked. And now that I really think about that.
Well, yeah. I mean, he got spooked, but... The thing is, you should not say yes unless you mean it to me.
Yes,
especially
totally
after all the things I've done for him.
Right.
And the support that I've given him.
I don't like that. I really wish that it's kind of like, in a way, a little bit of like a social anxiety thing.
And he backed out and you have to replace him because a lot of the people were coming just for him.
Yeah.
And
so what did they
do? We got Alton to come.
Whoa.
Well, I shouldn't say we. I should say Scott. Scott sorted it all out.
What's he up to?
Well, that was the big question. He comes out and Scott was like, where the fuck have you been? Sorry, Linda. And because he's not even on social.
I heard that he had bought an RV and was driving around the country. Who knows? I don't know what he was
doing.
To
be honest with you. Okay, so you probably actually know more than me because to be honest, he really didn't answer the question.
That sounds about right for him.
He has a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
And so I get that. But what does he do for a living? I don't know that.
I don't know either.
And I don't know if he has a wife or a girlfriend or whatever. Maybe. Where did you hear that?
From him.
Where did you talk to him?
I talked to him like either a little bit when we did a reunion for the challenge that we were on together. Something like that. I had heard
this. Why was he in an RV?
I don't know. He just said that, and I think it was the girl he got pregnant. Like, I don't know, or it was like an Airstream or something where they were like camping and, you know, like for fun, I guess. But I don't know if this is true because he has a lot of tall tales. But when we were on the show, he was saying, and this is a really good idea. And I was like, oh my God, I'm upset that I didn't come up with it. He had an an invention, and he, like, I think they actually went into production too, where he sold this idea to a company or worked with a company to create rip away board shorts, which sounds like, why do you need those? But if you surf, you sometimes you want to wear like no board shorts under your wetsuit. So having something that you can like easily change in and out of is convenient. Yeah. And like he had like this whole Velcro system, and I was like, damn, that's a good idea, because I've seen so many dudes towel changing on the beach. Like the idea that you just have like real easy, like, I thought it was a good idea. And
yeah, that is a good idea. It's just funny to me how a lot of the people on the show, especially those that era, I have no idea how they make a living.
Like,
I'm always like, who pays you? I don't get it.
Yeah,
and,
no idea.
You know, like people from back in the day, and it just seems like they never got a job. And you're like, how are you paying your bills? I'm confused about it.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. Where are they now kind of?
Yeah, but never for those ones. And like, even when they tell you what they do, it doesn't sound like a job.
God, that's totally true.
You know, we always have this with Cyrus too. We're always like, but wait, what does he do? He has like a store, right? But not really. I don't know. Question mark on that.
Yeah.
But regardless, they seem happy and he was good. I was so glad he could come because it filled that gap from Kenny missing it. And
yeah, and he's like,
we're curious. Yeah. About where the heck he was, but he's a great player. So it was good. But,
cool.
Anyway, a few months ago, I had put out a question on our Brain Candy Crush Facebook group asking, like, what do you want to know behind the scenes of reality TV and the challenge and all that jazz? And we do this every so often. And people submitted their questions, so I guess we could go through a few. I'm sure we've talked a lot about some of them, but people always seem to have good questions, and that's fun for me.
And
also, usually it's the same old, same old.
But even with the same old questions, sometimes my perspective changes.
True.
And my feelings change over time. So the same questions, if you were to ask me, you know, 5 years ago, I would definitely answer different today.
That's a good point. Like a few years ago, I might have said that I really didn't have a favorite pair of underwear, and now I do, and it's MeUndies.
I knew you were going to say that.
And I just said that. I put a pair on today and I said to my husband, these really are the best underwear I've ever had. And I don't
know. It's funny that we almost have to convince ourselves when we're like,
right.
These really are the best. Wow.
They're so soft. So you know how dudes have soft underwear all the time, but like the women's underwear is usually kind of like more about style than comfort. And this is about both because it has that super soft micromodal fabric that's 3 times softer than cotton, for Pete's sake. And then they have 4 different cuts and then a million colors. They have classic, bold, adventurous. What prints did you end up with?
Well, Suze.
Oh, right. They're still in my house.
They are, but
that's so funny.
I have taken a peek around the website, and one of the ones that are my favorite are the Valentine's Day collections, and they have matching sets, so you can get you and your partner, I mean, man or woman,
okay.
A matching set.
Please
and
do this with Landon.
One of the Valentine's Day ones they have is wine and cheese.
You have to get that.
Obviously. They come in a 3-pack of like little kisses, like, you know, little lips.
Yes.
Wine and cheese and adorable little cartoon hearts.
Oh, that's adorable.
Oh, yeah.
They're so super cute, but they really are the most comfortable undies I've ever worn. And you can get 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee if you go to MeUndies.com/BrainCandy. That's MeUndies.com/BrainCandy. I personally guarantee them as well. They are awesome. Okay, so let's start with our questions. The first one, Sarah, let me read to you. And I haven't read through these, so I don't know what people want to know. Is it normal, this is from Rihanna, for production to halt a challenge or elimination and, quote, fix items in the challenge or elimination? Do you remember when there was rumors about that one that Johnny was up against Natalie?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they didn't show it, but there were rumors that they had reset and done it a second time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first people had heard about this type of thing. So what is your take on that?
It does happen. I mean, there's a lot of things you can't prep for.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes they don't expect people to go as hard as they do. And sometimes they break things. Sometimes, you know. So, yeah, it happens. I would say maybe like one in 10 eliminations.
Right.
There's something like that. Maybe two, maybe even one in 5, because I would say it's like once or twice a season.
Well, and so sometimes, like, you know how if it's a puzzle, for example, let's think about that. So there's a puzzle and then they'll have to check and see if you got it right. Is there ever a delay between you saying done and then them saying yes or no? And if that's the case, then do they stop the other players from doing their puzzle while they check?
No, they don't.
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of a good point too.
Because sometimes there is a bit of a gap. Like there'll be a moment where somebody from behind the scenes will have to make sure that it's accurate. Because it's not like TJ always knows.
Well, he doesn't. There's somebody else who's checking. And also, like each person is assigned a timer. And then there's somebody who times that person. So there's like a two-person, you know, like I don't know, whatever you call it. Balances and checks and balances kind of things.
Yes.
And then also, I've been in the situation. I mean, I don't know if it was me personally who was competing in the elimination, but they asked for a check. The first person said no. And then somebody was like, yes, that is right.
Oh, really?
Like they didn't get it right. Took it that the person who was checking was incorrect. I'm trying to remember. Oh. I want to say it was in the one where they were upside down in the water tank with
Camilla. That was confusing.
And it was really confusing. And I think they got it right, but then got it wrong. There was a whole bunch of stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah. So in that case, it kind of depends, but there's set system, but there's somebody behind the scenes that's making sure that everything is done properly.
Things do sometimes seem unfair. Like there was one challenge where, we were in the Czech Republic we were in Turkey and it was Battle of the Seasons. And Zach was on the San Diego team and he was using this, it almost looked like a T-bar, like something you would hold on to if you were on the ski lift. And it was like padded and foam and it broke because he was so big.
Oh my gosh, right.
He was like, they didn't take into account how, like, what the weight limit on one of these things would be or how heavy a player was. And it fell, he fell into the water, and then they had to reset the whole thing. But as they reset, it's like the adrenaline goes down. It's kind of like what happened. There was a Super Bowl a few years ago where the lights went out in the middle of the game. And it's like, okay, well, that defense or off, whoever it was gets a ton of rest now. And so it almost seems like, is this really fair? You know,
right.
And so it reminds me of that, but it's like those things you can't really anticipate and you just kind of have to deal with it. And I think they ended up winning and I was like, what the hell? That's
well,
why.
And there's really no way to make a game completely fair.
At all.
Yeah.
Right. That's why they have the legal team there who's able to go, there's nothing we can do here.
And a lot of times I don't even think they're trying to make it fair. They're trying to just not get sued.
Right.
So it's like, whoa. That's so crazy. I'm sorry. There's lightning outside. And you hear the thunder?
I do now.
Oh, my God. It's like the end of days out there.
Well,
like, I just saw a bird fall from the sky.
Oh, my God. Another one?
Right. Good point.
Well, or maybe it's like ominous. Like, who knows? Because I just got 3 texts in a row from Buna Murray just now.
No. What did it say,
Sus?
Sarah?
I was like, oh, my God. How do they know? They're watching us.
Are you kidding me?
It says, hey, Sarah, not sure if you got my message, but, you know, I'm working on another challenge and wanted to talk to you about it. Would you be interested in participating on another challenge?
Oh, my God.
Yep. I thought they forgot about me. Nope. Those people who think I'm blacklisted, get out of here. Come on, me.
Who's sending that, Sky?
No, somebody else.
Somebody you know?
Yes.
Ah.
No one love. She's great.
Interesting.
Yes.
What would you do, though, if it were after you graduate? Would you do it?
No, I don't think so.
I know we keep going over this, but it's
no, I can't because I cannot mentally subject myself to that insanity. And
no.
I have a different view of it, and it has become so. Why would I do that? No, I don't need the money. It's not in line with my future goals. And I don't want to be like, I love that people don't recognize me anymore.
Do you? You feel free?
I do.
Yeah, I get
except
that.
One girl who works as a hostess at a restaurant I really like. And every time I come in, well, it's been three times. She's like, hey, don't I know you from somewhere? And I'm like, we've been through this before. And she's like, oh, my God, that's right. I remember. Sorry. I keep forgetting.
I love how she knows you enough to know you, but then not enough to remember.
Right.
That sums it up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. That's next question. And I just realized that I'm reading through the old thread, like the thread from 2 years ago. But that's all right because there's 90 questions. So
whoa, that's a lot.
All right. Maybe I'll start at the bottom of it so that.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see.
Would you ever let Lincoln go on reality TV? He's older. He's 19.
I would not encourage it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not healthy.
Right.
It really isn't. And, you know, some people handle it better than others, but I also don't see it bringing good things into people's lives even after. Mm-hmm, like, okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, you get a lot of followers or whatever, but...
Yeah.
That's not what a good life is made of.
Sustainable. Right. Yeah.
I think that's especially true for women, though.
Yeah. It doesn't come with long-term benefits. Well, it's kind of like, it's very in line with, you know, society right now where everything's like short-lived and like almost like in the moment, not long-term. You know, we want instant gratification right here, right now.
Yeah.
Not long term. Future's unpredictable, man.
Somebody wants to know, would it be Jess wants to know, is it possible to be a vegan on the challenge?
Oh my gosh.
We dealt with that with Nehemiah. Remember we asked him about that.
Oh yeah. They were horrible with him.
Here's the, okay.
Wow, that thunder is serious.
That's why I thought you had heard
spooky.
It.
Spooky.
Okay, I found the new thread as well. Okay.
Man, yeah, no, I think Kellyanne and Nehemiah are the only ones I know who've had really...
Is Kellyanne vegan?
No, I think she maybe goes back and forth.
Right.
But I know she's vegetarian for the most part.
Right. Well, here's what Nehemiah said, just if you didn't hear that. On our patreon.com/braincandy where we interview cast members and things like that. He basically said he got by, but that they did absolutely nothing to accommodate him.
Yeah.
So he was left with rice or, you know, just really enough to fill his belly, but nothing more.
It was like the garnish.
Absolutely.
And we were, surprisingly, I don't know why this is, but... well, I don't know. Maybe it's because of like the forest or like rainforesty type environment.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot of vegetables in places like the Dominican. I mean, they do, but like the idea of a salad in the Dominican Republic in these small little towns is like unheard of.
Right.
They're like, here's your casado, which is bananas, like plantains, rice, black beans, chicken.
Right.
Because they, you know, you need that food because it's so hot and you're sweating and you're like burning calories like crazy. And so nobody's like eating salad. They're like, that's a waste. I need protein and carbs.
I'll tell you who does accommodate all diets is Postmates.
Oh, yeah. You can get anything you want and they will bring it to you.
Any food you like. Postmates has a gazillion restaurant options and... you know, personal food delivery, whatever you want that they will bring to your house. And you don't even have to go on the challenge.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're like, I need red wine at 4 p.m. I need sushi at 9 p.m.
Dude, I might do the challenge if I could Postmate it while
that's
I'm
so good. That's so true. I would too. Yep. It'd be like, that's a game changer.
Total game changer.
If we could actually eat what we wanted. This is Postmates. Is so, I mean, I'm sure you guys are using it. It's like no more trips to the store. You don't even have to know where the store is. Postmates will deliver anything to you, and you just download the app on iOS or Android for free. You can browse local restaurants and businesses, track your delivery 24 hours a day, every day of the year. They'll bring you what you want within the hour.
We use it at the clinic.
Oh, that's cool.
For like Starbucks runs. Like, that's man, smart. We don't do not have time in between these clients. Yeah. I got to write this note. I'm just going to, and I need coffee to survive. I'm going to Postmate it.
Get this deal. Listen to this. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery.
What?
Credit for your first 7 days. Start your deliveries by downloading the app right now and use code BRAINCANDY. That's BRAINCANDY for $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Get anything you need anytime you need it. Download Postmates and save with code BRAINCANDY. What a great deal.
Yeah, no joke.
Okay, so next question, and I found the more recent thread, so this will be new questions. How often do you have to do the confessional interviews? Are they guided by a producer? Is it your choice to do the interview? That's from Charlotte.
Yeah. No, it is not your choice.
Right.
You have to do it. It's part of the contract.
Yes.
And you will get fined if not. And also, it's very much run by the producer because, you know, they get to ask the question, and all, as we know, all those can be leading.
Yes.
And so how the schedule goes is challenge day, elimination day, interview day, off day.
Oh, wow.
Or challenge, elimination, interview, challenge, elimination, interview, off.
You know more than I do. I was just imagining or remembering that it was once a week, like on Saturday. Maybe that's used to be how it was or something.
Twice a week. Maybe when it would always follow an eliminate. But also sometimes
like
when there are a bunch of people there, you may just do it once a week.
That's a good point. Early
and one
on,
of the other, yes, go ahead.
Yeah. No, you're right.
One of the other like insider info little things that happens that people don't know about, and you can look for this on the show too, is there'll be a list, a sign-up list for times, or they just assign you times based on who they know will wake up first thing in the morning. I always had the first slot.
Me too.
Because I'm always up, and they know I'm going to be on time, and they have to get the ball rolling.
Everyone else is hungover, so there's like nobody wants that first interview because you're tired. I mean, it starts pretty early, like 7 or 8 in the morning. And these interviews go 3 hours sometimes.
Yeah.
They're really long. And it's very fatiguing because
very draining.
They have to turn the air conditioning off in the room because it creates a noise.
Yep.
And so by the end, you're just so – you'll say whatever they want.
Yeah.
Just to get out.
That's such a good point. Oh, my God.
It's like torture.
It's almost like what do they call it?
Interrogation.
Like, yes, interrogation tactics.
Yeah.
Dude.
Like, what do you want me to say? I'll say it.
So, and they also, they don't have a makeup artist or anybody who does hair or anything like that. Yeah. And so it'll be like you and a dude who's like 26 interviewing you or whoever it is.
26.
And they'll have like makeup that they, because they don't want you to be shiny. So they'll have powder that they purchased at the closest drugstore that is the cheapest stuff.
Garbage.
And there was one season where somebody did not take into consideration any range of colors that people are.
Yeah.
And it, like the whole scene, you look like somebody's like just got hit in the face with flour.
Yeah, like a pantomime.
They're like, yeah, we can't do that. That looks awful. And so they don't think about stuff like that. So we're on our own with that. And there was one season they asked the women, particularly like one that stands out, to stop wearing so much bronzer because their face looked like hollowed out, like a Skeletor kind of in the shadows and with the light. So that was
fun. Well, and in the room is usually a producer who asks you the questions. They have it on a piece of paper, the questions.
Mm-hmm.
A cameraman and a sound guy. That's usually it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always hot, like I said, and you know, it's not comfortable. So the next question is from Melissa, and she said she wants to know what goes into a challenge day. I assume there's more preparation than TJ just explaining the instructions in 15 seconds. Is there additional prep? Are there professionals giving additional instruction? Any not so well-known info about what goes into would be interesting.
Just take it away, Suze.
So TJ does his bit. And then they stop, you know, filming, and then they have a cue, like we can ask questions. Are we allowed to do this or that? And there might be a producer that they're called segment producers where they come up with the challenges and they have tested it and they'll answer any questions or give you more instructions.
Mm-hmm.
And that can take a really long time.
It takes a long time because then everybody has to ask. And you can tell the people who have been on the challenge for a while because they will get very... There's two ways to do it. Get very specific in every single question you ask. Okay, yeah. So if we do this, does yeah. that mean we get this? Does this count? Or you ask yeah. no questions
yeah.
and then just hope that the no explanation of it leads, you know, like you almost catch them in...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, bake like for a sin of omission.
Ask for permission. Yes, totally.
Right. Okay.
Like puzzles, you want to get the full explanation. Anything that's like man to man.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah.
You do not.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, and to the thing I was going to say about the thing to look for if you're a viewer watching it with the in regards to the sign up list is it'll usually be on the refrigerator door.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
So look for the refrigerator door on. The night the of elimination.
Yeah.
And you can usually see the sign-up list for the next day. And that sign-up list is the interview list.
And it's usually really messy because people cross their name out and change it. And yes! Switch. It's like when you work times. In a restaurant and you switch shifts. It's like that.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Gianna submitted this question. She said, you know, recently they've been talking more about bullying culture and the challenge. You know how sometimes... TJ will say bullying is not tolerated.
Yeah.
Which is the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Right.
And then some people think there's no such thing as bullying in the game because that can be a strategy.
Right.
And other people think, no, you know, it's a gang, a pile up or pile on or whatever. What mm-hmm. do you think?
Oh, I just think because you're all living together, like common courtesy and like common decency is, yeah. it should be expected. But then, of course, it's like not the way to win. I mean, or, you know, that's not true. Nice guys do finish first sometimes. But, you know, I know that my moral standard says I'm going to not do those things. But, you know, to each his own, really.
I mean, this might be controversial, but a lot of times what ends up being put on is the actual moment when someone cracks...
Yeah.
And starts yelling at someone else. Mm-hmm. And what is less shown and less often featured is the provocation by the first yeah. person.
Right.
Where it could be a million things and there might be a million reasons why it's not shown. It might be that it was like, you know, this person wasn't getting ready fast enough to go out to the club that night. And
right.
then everyone
oh
had
God.
To wait 4 hours while
that
she
happens
puts on,
a lot.
Yeah.
Dude.
And they can't show that because that's like, there's more producers involved in like us getting mm-hmm. ready for the night,
mm-hmm.
but it that's can really make you crazy.
Yeah.
And then you
that's
end up
really
screaming at them and then you're the bully.
Yeah. You know, and I'm also thinking that there's a real serious like mean girl culture. Like it's
yeah.
very cliquey.
Yeah.
And I think it just goes back to like, I need to belong to a group. So we're going to make like out groups and in groups real
totally.
Quick and just arrange ourselves like this to survive.
Did you would ever bully anyone that you remember?
I would say what we did to Kellyanne is a little bit of, I don't know if it, like, it's not, Sarah now would not do that to somebody.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things I wouldn't do now.
Yeah, no joke. So, yeah, I think maybe I'm one of those, I hate, like, again, not now, but at 21, when I was like formulating my identity and felt like all alone all the time, I absolutely was like the laugh along with them thing. I mean, and right. you saw it with Katie Doyle when she got mad at me with the plunger. She was like, stop laughing. And I'm like, oh, this is what I always get in trouble for.
Yeah, because sometimes the laughing is just as cruel.
It could be worse.
Right.
It's like you're not taking any of the responsibility, but you're you know, you're really just pushing the knife in deeper.
And here's
but you're
another.
Like, well, they were already stabbed, you know.
There's another point, which is that if you're somebody like me, who, you know, I can handle myself in the competitions and stuff. I'm not a total like
right.
worthless character, but
true.
I'm not as physical as someone like Carmarie or whatever. That social game in the house can be
oh.
the difference between going
100%.
All the way, and
100%.
So that is something that someone like me is going to use, and so you could call that bullying. Or good gameplay, as others
right.
say. So it's
that's
hard
what
to,
I'm saying, to each his own.
It's hard to know where the line is sometimes, especially in that environment.
What I get frustrated, like, I understand what MTV's doing, but, like, come on, MTV. Don't even with that whole, like, what's accepted.
Bullying,
I even feel like calling the next season War of the Worlds is only further, like, it's drawing attention to it. I don't know. It's just, it's, I don't like it. It kind of rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I won't bully you into this, but I do think you should take advantage of the amazing New Yorker deal that we have going on. The New Yorker is so awesome. And some of you guys are like, what? That's fancy. It's not. They have something for everyone. They have stuff about pop culture. They have stuff about food, humor. They have cartoons. They have crosswords. They have stuff that'll keep you in the know about politics and news, stuff that's trending. Cultural criticism. It's really, they have something for everyone. And I just find it to be really helpful because they have deep dives on things that you're like, oh, the history of comedy. I want to know more about that. Or,
what about the strawberry farmer who was secretly growing pot?
Right? We were super into that.
That's a story for everybody.
And this is, to me, a no-brainer. What a great deal this is. You get 12 weeks of The New Yorker for just $6. And you get an exclusive tote, which is so cute. And you get it by going to newyorker.com/braincandy. Listeners save 50% by entering code braincandy. $6? Come on. Gosh. Yes. Sick of it. Yes. Okay. Now. Whoa, do you hear that?
Oh my gosh. It sounds like rustling paper.
This is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Okay. Brianne says, I love your take on how challenges and eliminations have gotten increasingly difficult over the seasons, like how on The Gauntlet, one of the eliminations was literally jump into the pool, take 6 to 7 tangram pieces and solve it. And then last season, a regular challenge is jumping from cars to cars, and Leroy nearly dies.
Right. So and somebody's already lost a spleen.
Wait, who was that, Tony?
Tony.
What happened there?
He was doing one of these jumping challenges above water. I'm telling you, the heights above water, those are the ones to be scared of.
Yeah.
So he was jumping from platform to platform, and he hit the platform, like, with his stomach.
My God.
You know, it was like one of those long jump kind of things. Mm-hmm. And he missed the jump and fell short, and it hit right in his stomach and, like, ruptured his spleen. And then he had to have emergency surgery in Uruguay.
Yeah. That's
no thank you.
Terrifying. What do you think that the producers are conscious of this change from it being more about entertainment and sort of, you know, just simple stuff versus like absolutely Olympic level of death-defying feats? Or do you think it's just that's what happens when you're on the air that many seasons?
I think maybe that's what happens. But, you know, it's like anything. Like, if it depends on what lenses you're wearing when you're, you know, for what you see and what you don't see or what draws your attention. So I would imagine that somewhere along the lines they did some sort of experiment of like, we're going to do simple challenges and we're going to do really complex ones and let's see what the people say. And so they look at Twitter and they go, wow, look at all the people who are like, I don't like this. I don't like this. What are the complicated ones? But that's because they're looking for that. They're already, you know, their eyes are, or their mind is telling them, look for the ones that are, you know, complaints. And so I think maybe it stands out more. They think, oh, people don't like this. When really it's just like anything. It's like you're not, that's not a representative sample or like, it's only the people who are on the extremes and nobody goes, oh, I love, like, I don't know. I feel like you're going to hear more complaints than you will people who would be like, that was so much fun to watch.
When I was in New York with Marie, and by the way, that was the first time I ever met her. So that was so fun because I love
fun.
Her.
She's the best.
She is. And she was talking about how they send the cast, you know, the pictures and things to promote the show for that's coming out and on social media. And she was talking about how they kind of track the insights from each person to see who gets the most traction. And it's somewhat, of course, based on how many followers you have, but it's also about how engaging you are and whatever. But that's a whole side of the show that I was out of before it began. So
there's a name for it. It's called your It's like a something score.
Oh, like analytic? No.
Yeah, it sort of is. And so they do these. There's a service that they pay for really shows how much. And there was a website you can go on. I think it was called clout.com, where you can enter your own information and you can see. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, there we go. It's like that.
Yeah.
And they look at how much social influence somebody has, or how often people tweet their names, or, you know. Yeah.
Okay. This is a really good question. Ronald wrote, it's two-parter. First, he asked, do you think the challenge is a sport? But then he said, and I love this question, who would you tell about what happened on the show before it aired? Because we all do it, even though we're not allowed.
Oh, my God. I tell everybody.
You're saying you would?
I do.
You tell everybody.
Yeah. I mean, anybody who asks. Not like random people, but like my friends.
If they said, did you win? What would you say?
I'm like, Susie.
I'm
the worst
asking.
Liar. You can take one look at my face and you can know exactly what happened.
Yeah. Right.
So I can't keep, and I also can't keep like, not those kind of secrets. Like,
well, that's why, you know, secret, on the chat room thing, the forums, you know, the people that know everything, it doesn't surprise me at all. It's surprising when people don't know something.
Right.
Because it's not like we're Survivor where it actually matters. We're just this silly show. And yeah, it's nice, you know, if a secret can be kept, but we're not paid enough to keep fucking secrets.
Right. And if it did matter, they would. And especially on my last one, I'm like, oh, what are you going to do? Take away the money I don't have? Okay. I had already gotten the check, and the checks were in the in the bank. So I'm talking, and I'm like, and I was so pissed about everything that happened. It didn't even matter that I talked about everything, because these people still didn't believe me.
Wow. I think people knew that you and Johnny made it to the end on Rivals 3, but I don't think they knew that he took the money until very close to the air date.
Yeah.
That, for some reason, didn't get out.
I did kind of become a hermit after that, not telling, you know, didn't tell anybody about that. Plus, I was just starting school, so I was in a different mindset.
I think Hunter kind of went into that hermit thing for a minute, too.
Oh, you have to.
Yeah.
And I even think that that's a real thing that happens after the challenge that I've talked about with other people, is you're so exposed that you have to almost, like, the pendulum has to swing in the other direction. And when I got home from challenges, I wouldn't want to go out, see anybody, do anything for like a month.
Wow.
Decompress.
I did want to go to restaurants, though, because I was so craving all my comfort foods and things like that. But I didn't want to socialize.
Right.
Sammy wants to know, has any contestant seen their interview get so edited that the final cut shows them saying something completely different than what they had intended? That's never happened to me. I've always been happy with my edit, to be honest.
Yeah,
even when I look bad, it was because I acted bad.
Yeah, I've never experienced that.
Yeah, but I have seen it done where someone's been totally frankenbited and it's so obvious, but, you know, they're allowed, so.
It did happen a little bit on my Real World where I was like, that is not the order that things went in. And you can really tell because my hair is curly in one scene and straight in the next. And I know when I wear warm, and I was like, that, I didn't wear my hair curly until the end of the season or whatever. So that's a bunch of bullshit. But, you know, what can you do?
Okay. Laura says, how much time does a cast member have to prep to leave? Good question. I know they have the first round of calls. Oh, I see. I thought they meant leave the show.
Me too.
I know they have the first round of calls, but how much time does the cast member have? That varies.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes someone will be put on the cast a couple days before.
Yeah, it's always been about a month for me, maybe a little more.
Yeah, me too. But I think there is some last-minute switcheroos that happen. Mm-hmm. And then some people really do have to just, like, pack their bags and go. And I guess a certain kind of person doesn't mind that.
Yeah, I do. It doesn't work for me. And maybe they know that. Maybe they put in the calls to the people who are a little more scheduled and need advance warning.
Good point. Cards. Right. Like, have a life. Okay. Yeah. She also wanted to know, Shane recently said that the contract changed and they are no longer allowed to talk about what they don't air and will be fined if they do. He said it was added to their Vendetta's contract. Does this change in contract change your thoughts on returning to the show? It doesn't change that, but gosh, that's really stupid.
Yeah.
So you have to not say, that seems unenforceable.
Right.
Give me a break. Yeah.
And then, ooh, God.
That's your life.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's like, you can't tell somebody, please don't talk, especially if, okay, oh, God. This has a lot of implications, like if you, okay, like what they're saying. So if you experience something, say you did feel like you were bullied on there.
Yeah.
And there, you know, there was a time when I did feel like I was bullied by a lot of those guys on my first season. And that was really, in a way, kind of like traumatic for me and mildly, but, you know, still affected me. And I thought about it afterwards. And if I weren't able to talk and share that with the people who were important to me in my life and kind of process it, you're basically telling somebody to swallow that experience and just
internalize it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And bury the emotions and the feelings because God forbid you talk about, no, I'm sorry.
It doesn't change our mind because neither of us are going back, right, but that does not make the prospect any more appealing. But if you are called for a challenge and you have to pack your bags, you should definitely bring an away bag. These pieces of luggage are amazing. Have you, what color, do you have one? You have one.
Mm-hmm. I have a black one because, you know.
We just took ours to New York and they were a lifesaver because you can charge your electronics. Like my kid, you know, when you fly now, you have to have the iPad. That's what you do. But you have to charge it. And so it's such a great, high quality piece of luggage, but it also solves the problem of like, I have 50,000 things to charge and this bag will do it for you.
I feel like an ultimate traveler when people see me plugged into that and they're like searching around for the outlet. And I'm like,
We always have
that running
joke. I'm trying
to not be smug, but you know.
We always were like, a smart traveler always brings this, a smart traveler. Uh-huh. Well, a smart traveler always has an away bag because they are really the best carry-on I've ever had. And they have the bigger carry-on, they have the medium and the large as well, but they're awesome and highly recommend them. So if you want a deal on one, you can get $20 off a suitcase if you visit awaytravel.com/braincandy and use promo code braincandy20 during checkout. So that's $20 off a suitcase. You visit awaytravel.com/braincandy to get that deal and use promo code braincandy20 during checkout. They are so cute. We have three now.
Ooh.
That's how we
roll. Well, there's three of you, so.
I know.
Oh, that's how we roll.
Everybody.
That's cute.
In fact, my kid, he had one of those like novelty ones. It's like, not in a way back. He had a like a dog.
Yeah.
So, you know, those cute little ones. And I'm like, dude, you have outgrown that. We have got to get you a big boy bag. And so we got him his own away carry-on. And he thinks he's super fancy now.
Oh, my God. That's so
And he's
cute.
Not wrong.
Right.
Okay. Laura wanted to know if Devin reached out to you after your miscarriage.
Oh.
No, the girl. Devin Simone.
No.
Okay. Because it said, especially since her news came a few days after Devin's crappy comment about Sarah. I didn't know about this.
Oh, no.
I
want
to know.
Oh, no, she didn't. No.
Because this was in response to Angie asking, do either of you have bad blood with your original cast?
I mean, I wouldn't call it bad blood. No. I just have, like, I'm, like, indifferent about that relationship is not one that I've continued to put energy or effort into.
Yeah.
And that's fine because that's life.
It's 100% like high school where you keep in touch with some people and then you grow apart from other people.
And
that's
you can
all.
Still appreciate them and you can still be, you know, happy for them and their life
Good
and
memories.
What they're doing. And Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. But I was kind of, you know, the other day I was looking for, I'm doing this event and I needed some pictures of myself. And the only freaking pictures I have that aren't like me being ridiculous are like headshots from the show. So I Googled myself and what came up was the very first thing is the People magazine article about the miscarriage with the quote of me saying, oh, I felt like a coffin, which is like, you know, I got to be careful what I say in these articles because that was like to be reminded.
You only said it on the show. They took that from our show, from Brain Candy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, now I extra don't like that.
Yeah. They didn't interview you.
That's right. They didn't interview me.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's crummy.
Yeah, but the thing that I think people really liked, and by the way, this is off topic, but I had a friend who had a miscarriage recently, and she said to tell you that episode really was helpful to her. And so
what I wanted
to say is just that, you know, you say, I got to be careful what I say, but I think your honesty and your frankness really is helpful to people. And so you shouldn't censor it because, you know, it can be taken by People Magazine. Fuck them.
Right. You know what? Thank you. That really puts things into perspective and gets my mind right about that because that's how I feel. And that's why I wanted to talk about it in the first place.
Yeah. And it really had an impact and it helped people. And so don't you take that back.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that your friend had, you know, that.
Yeah, it was helpful.
A little bit helped.
Because you know what, if you censor yourself, then it's not as honest.
Right.
So you did the right thing. Okay.
Right. Thanks.
Caroline wanted to, you know what, I have a question from Susan made me think of this. She wanted to know what we thought about the Are You the One editions and stuff, but especially because this season is going to be called War of the Worlds and they're introducing like the Ninja Warrior, all these people. Yeah. Like, do you like that idea or not?
I mean, I know that it's the natural progression of the show and where they're going and what they're doing, but I don't like it.
Yeah.
I think there was something fun about it being a smaller group that you always kind of knew and loved and recycling the same people, even though people are like, oh, I want to see more. And I understand that you have to. But I think since they don't have the real world anymore, they have to do something to get new talent. And the big reason, you know, and if we really like peel back the layers and I'm honest, it's because I couldn't compete on there now.
Oh,
they would kick my butt.
That's what Marie's like. I don't want to go against the Ninja Warrior.
Right. They're going to beat me every day of the week. I mean, there are only so many puzzles and memory challenges out there. And I am not going to be like, Yeah.
Well, we didn't like the one where you had to choose between eating a cake or running naked, but at least anybody could do those things.
Yeah, and some of them do just take, you know, some experience and some logic. Like, I think all the time, not all the time, but every now and then, I think about the leg of the final challenge that we did on Rivals 3 with Johnny. The very first thing we did was organize all these wires, untangle these wires and plug the wires into this electrical box and then, you know, make the explosion happen, blah, blah, blah. And nobody thought to wrap them like cords, you know, how you wrap cords around your arms.
Yeah.
Like I had a system for organizing it. So it's things like that that help you win. And there aren't, I mean,
that's true.
The challenges have to be very well thought out to cater to somebody who, you know, would maybe have a different, like, there has to be a puzzle almost element to it.
Yeah.
And not just like the
straight
first,
brute brawn.
Right. You know, and good like point. Almost like a trick, you know.
Caroline asked a good question, which is, you know, we've talked before about how they keep the ibuprofen and cold medicine now.
It's so fucking dumb. I hate it.
And of course, like if you have a controlled substance like depression, I'm sure they keep those too.
Yeah.
But what about like birth control? They keep those?
Oh my God. Really good question. I have no idea.
Me neither.
I would imagine that they would.
Yeah. I think
Dude,
they do.
That is so stupid. There was a night when we were on the last challenge I was on, I got sick. Everybody in the house got sick. And I told you, Wes hid the cold medicine. Like it was, you know.
Yeah. Drugs, like for real drugs.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I waited by that door. You know, at night, they're probably like the producers, once we're all in bed, they're probably like fucking around and like not, they're doing whatever. They're not like watching the cameras, like looking for movement. So I was like screaming, like waving my hands in the air, going like, guys,
oh, wow.
guys. And finally I was like, fuck it. And walked over to the production office and knocked on the door. I'm like, dudes, I've been calling you guys. Like, what is somebody supposed to do? And I'm a freaking 30 years old or however old I was.
Yeah.
And and I can't get some like Sudafed or you know, yeah, whatever it was, some whatever I had. And you feel so out of control. I probably cried. And then they're like, oh my God, you're hysterical or whatever.
Oh, right.
And I just remember being like, if there were an actual emergency right now.
Absolutely.
I
have thought that myself, where I've been like, you know, it's usually at like 4 or 5
yeah,
when everyone's in bed, they're switching out the cruiser or whatever they're doing. And I have thought there's no phone. Mm-hmm. There is right. no anybody mm-hmm. that is available if there were a medical emergency.
You have no idea where you are.
Yeah.
You couldn't tell.
Yeah, you couldn't even
if you
say,
had a phone,
here's
you
our
couldn't
address.
Say, here's where I am.
Yes, you're so right.
God
it's
forbid
really weird.
Something happened. Could you imagine? What if there were some weird like gas explosion in the production
gas,
office
gas
and all
explosion.
Of a sudden we're left and we're like stranded? It would be Lord of the Flies.
Yeah. Right. It's a bunch of like incompetent flies too.
And everybody is a chief and no Indians. Forget it.
Okay. Sasha wants to know, I would like to know what the camera and sound crew think of the challenges or any other reality show. I'm sure they would have amazing stories. How do the crew feel when fighting happens or blah, blah, blah. Or do they ever feel like they're in danger?
Suze, what does Adam think?
Yeah, he has a lot of good stories about how, from their point of view, how things play out. I remember when the Brad and Darrell situation happened on the ruins, mm-hmm. when the next morning I saw in the garbage by the kitchen, there was a piece of paper from my husband that said, sorry, I got blood on the mics.
Oh my God.
Like, to the next crew member, you know?
And oh my God. That's
he
crazy.
He did say, like, sometimes he would feel like, I might be getting hit. You know, I might get yeah. some glass thrown at me. You just don't know. And I don't know why that doesn't bother them, but they
it's
seem
that,
okay with
it's
it.
It's that exciting, like, documentary yeah. filmmaker. Like,
yeah,
it's
that's
why
true.
They would go to a war zone. You know, why would those journalists go there? It's like a war zone.
Yeah. I don't know. They just think they want to save themselves. And if you do want to save money, you should go for Lightstream because they have a credit card consolidation system that will save you a bundle potentially in APR because some people don't even know what they're paying in APR. You might be getting highway robbed. And Lightstream has a great way for you to get a rate as low as 6.14% APR with auto pay. The rate is fixed. It'll never go up. There are no fees. You can apply online in minutes. It's super easy. I checked out the application. You don't have to leave your house, and you might get the money as soon as the day you apply. And they just reward people with good credit with a low rate and an easy process. And if you want to save even more, our listeners get an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/braincandy, lightstream.com/braincandy. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/braincandy for more information. Love a deal. Okay. What's next here? Stephanie, mm-hmm. our friend Steph, she's wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
How she's long great. Did it take to... Oh, this was the one of confessionals as well. It said, how many takes does it take to film those? I mean, it's not even takes.
One.
Yeah, it's just like a conversation for 3 hours.
Yeah. You know what? I wonder, though, because I only have my... perspective, like it,
sure.
my experience in that room, and then just, you know, the verbal reports of other people.
Yeah.
But I feel like I never have to do, like, say something again, or, you know, like, I tend to be the one, like, a person they go to, as I'm sure you were too, to explain the rules.
Yes.
And explain, or give a description of where we are.
Yeah.
Like what
we're
country
really
we're in.
We're not the people that are going to say the shocking thing. We're going to break it down more.
Yeah. And we're pretty good at getting it out in one take, as evidenced by our almost 300 episodes of a podcast.
right. With
so
no
I
edits.
I think that maybe some other people do have to take some time. And I think they do mess up.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's some of the best stories. I will not name the producer, but there's a producer who tells me about the painful, cringeworthy interviews with.
Yes. Tell me some. Oh my God. Please, okay. please. I know Evelyn, the producer you're talking about too.
Evelyn was a big, like, she never felt like she was getting it right. So she'd be like, let me do it again. Let me try again.
That's what I'm saying.
Tim Beggy, he said, was he wanted to get it really funny. And so he'd do like five versions of the same joke.
Evan's like that too.
Yeah. Like where they'll think, like, what's the funniest? Yes. He would take notes through. Who else?
Of like jokes, like punchlines.
Brad. Like, Brad's super funny and compelling, but like not great with words.
Uh-huh.
And so he would trip over them. Gosh. But I love those stories because, as you said, we're not in the room.
Right.
We don't know what goes on for other people. It's easy for us.
But I'm watching this this current season of Top Chef, and there is a chef on there who is terrible on
camera.
Did
they make a joke about it, or do you just
notice
it?
Yes, they even have him, like, he's awful. But he's an amazing chef. And
sure.
Like, this is a producer's nightmare. And then, like, he's on here because he's good. And he's probably going to make it to the end. But they're, like,
it's painful. That
they almost have to make a joke out of it. Because if you didn't, then you'd be like, why is this guy on TV?
I think it's unusual to have both where you're really good at being yourself and being candid and uncensored. But you're also good at taking direction and being able to speak, you know, in a way that people could understand without stopping.
Yeah.
And so if you have both of those, it works out great, but sometimes it doesn't.
I had to learn to stop being so wordy.
Oh.
Because they're only going to use a 15-second soundbite.
Good point. Yeah, you have to be concise.
Yeah, and if you wanted your point to be aired, like if you wanted that statement, if something that you were saying was important, you had to make it real short, because if you had like a whole big long explanation to prove your point that was important, as most people do, they're going to throw it out because they can't air all that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So make it short and sweet.
When I was at Challenge Mania, they introduced me onto the stage, and Scott always makes a joke about how, you know, I'm a 2-time champion, but he's like, or 3 times if you ask her. And then I kept thinking about it because I get really frustrated because he was counting Gauntlet 2 and The Ruins as my wins. I always say they should also count the Spring Break Challenge because it had challenge in the name. I won it and whatever. But then I also thought about how, like, I was on 7 shows. I won a thing on 5 of them because both road rules. I got to the end and won the prize.
Yes.
And then the 3 challenges I named. And so I feel like it diminishes it whenever people are like 2-time champ, because you don't get that. Like, I never got sent home 1 time.
Oh, that's
It's
good.
So funny how I get like worked up about it, but it's because I'm proud of that.
Yeah. You want credit.
But this leads me to the question that George asked, which is that
George.
Wes mentioned on his part 2 of Challenge Mania that the challenges in the finals of the first 10 seasons were so easy that the wins should not count. What is your opinion? you know mine now.
Well, I go back and forth because I think some of the more recent challenges are much easier finals as well, because they stop. It's like stop and go, stop and
go. Absolutely.
So I disagree, Wes. I think it depends on, you know, what season. And the one that he won with CT was so easy.
Yeah.
It's a joke. It was 1 day. And then one of the things he had to do was like just know Pythagorean theorem. And I was like, you just had to do a little bit of math and run around an island and swim. Like, come on. Don't even.
I just feel like, who's to say, you know, what's easy and what should be counted in? It's personal. That's why I'm like, no, you should. I feel like this deserves it, blah, blah, blah. When you go through it, you think it's worthy of being counted.
Yeah.
So off, Wes.
And it doesn't matter how easy or how hard it was. You're at an emotional breaking point, and you've been, you've suffered for the last, you know, 8 weeks or whatever it is. So So can it, Wes?
Well, and some people think eating is easy, and some people think running is easy. It's like It's subjective, you
yeah.
piece of shit.
You give me a swimming challenge, no problem. That was the easiest challenge ever. Yeah. You give somebody else a swimming challenge. Like, I would never say that the part when we jumped out of the helicopter in Norway and had to swim through that freezing cold fjord, that was super easy. No problem. Mm. But I think other people, like Leroy and Teresa, were like, that was awful.
Right. Because everyone has different strengths.
Yes.
Wes drives me crazy.
Well, he's just trying to say that his challenges
his stuff
count.
Is, yeah, everything, it's always about him. Okay.
Right.
Beth says, I've asked this before, but I still want to know, if anyone gets food poisoning from those crazy eating challenges, do you get extra time to recover after those?
Nope.
No.
And I did have to make myself throw up after, but it didn't almost didn't work. After the eating challenge we did in Turkey for Battle of the Seasons, where it was right. like one of those, how many do you think you can eat? I can eat 5. Well, I can eat 7. Okay, go. And then, you know, we had to eat. We ate something like, I think it was like 50-something dolmas, those grape leaf what rice things.
Yes.
In like 4 minutes. And of those, I ate 28 of them.
Oh, my God.
On a 4-person team.
That is so dumb.
And people, I could see, there was like a guy that I was hooking up with at the time, or did hook up with, who had come to visit because he's friends with one of the crew people there. And he was watching me as I was doing it. And I was looking at his face and he just had this look of horror. Like, how does this woman who like wears high heels and, you know, can like look nice, be shoving food in her mouth like she is one of those, you know, dudes at a hot dog eating contest, like
right.
at a county fair. I looked he was like, I'm disgusted by that.
Yeah. I mean, it is not our best moment.
And I was so full afterwards, and it was all oil, and I just knew, I was like, I'm going to be sick, and I need to go just have a minute to make myself throw up. Oh, and you know when we do get sick is from all the binge eating in the finals, when you've gone like 2 days without, like 48 hours without eating, and then they're like, here, eat this entire cow tongue. And your body just goes into shock and is like, oh, yeah, I'm going to need to puke this up. And because also, you're in a what is it called? I'm pretty sure it's the sympathetic nervous system that is like activated when you are in like danger or like you're in a high stress, you know. And so
survival.
And you know what happens? Your metabolism and your ability to digest food shuts down because it uses too much energy.
Yeah.
And it recognizes that you need this energy for other stuff, like surviving and running up this mountain or away from this bear or whatever. And so your body is just throws up because its job is to not eat right now.
Do you think the viewers really like watching that? Because it does seem gross.
Yeah, I think they do.
Why? Because it's just funny?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it, like, there's a little bit about this, like, they're in pain and you kind of want to see these people. It's a little bit of that. What is it called?
Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude.
Yeah, that's
little
so
bit of
true.
That playing
yeah.
And, going into play there.
Because it is gross.
Yeah, it's disgusting. Oh, my God. I remember when I got heat stroke on that last, the final in Battle of the Seasons. Oh, my God. I remember being like during that whole season being very like self-conscious about weight that I had gained, especially from just being like not moving that whole season. And so wearing like taking off my top and being in like a bikini top was really embarrassing for me. When I was on that final puking my guts out, I gave zero fucks. I had my shirt off. I was like hunched over with all of my like stomach like rolls, and they really are. They were, and that like because you could see them, and all the skin, all like that. I didn't even care because at that point I'm like I am so. I was sitting in a pile
of
my own.
It's like when you're giving birth. It's like
bile.
You suddenly do not care.
That didn't care about any of that. And it's all on TV, and it's all there, and you can see it and in all my glory. And I was just like, I would have never, under normal circumstances, allowed myself to be shown in that light. But nope, I couldn't even think.
Well, we've only gotten through a few questions, so we'll have to do a part two sometime. But
yes, that was fun.
It's a good point what you say, though, about how your answers change.
Yep.
Because the more you reflect, you know, and your life changes, the context changes, you look back and you'll think, maybe that wasn't so bad, or maybe that was worse than I remember, or whatever. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's fun to kind of take a minute every once in a while and... Well,
thanks for taking me on this walk down memory lane, Sue.
Thanks for submitting all the questions, everybody. That was really fun. And don't forget to subscribe to the Brain Candy Podcast. And if you want more challenge content, go to our patreon.com/braincandy. And we do all kinds of interviews and Q&As and things like that.
So much stuff for you there. Oh.
Yay. All right. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye. This podcast is brought to you by Wave Podcast Network. Check out all of our shows, including the Brain Candy Podcast, I Don't Get It, Babes and Babies, Coffee Convos, and Let's Talk About It.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.